Dear brothers and sisters, in spite of the advancement of material civilization bringing about many benefits to humanity, people deny the existence of God as they rely on their own wisdom and knowledge. In the latter months in 2008, billboards on British buses appear with the slogan, "There is probably no God, and stop worrying now and enjoy life." They don't believe in the afterlife, or they don't even recognize that God may be evaluating you. They don't even have that vague. If they have at least that vague knowledge, idea of that, they will try to live a good life. They even at least try to keep themselves from falling into severe evil, but they just deny God completely, and they just want to live as they please. The enemy, devil, and Satan control man's heart and mind, and they instigate them to believe that there's no God and lives as they please. And we shouldn't, human beings shouldn't fall for that. As time passes, the world becomes filled with more sin and opposition towards God. Many people are unable to distinguish between truth and falsehood and are deceived by lies. There may also be mistakes of judging and condemning an idea as wrong due to specific theories or knowledge that we've recognized as correct. If we have goodness in our heart, even when we find those with different ideas, we will try to accept, try to listen to him. But as people are more filled with evil, they have stronger frameworks. So, as we find another person with a little bit different ideas, we will reject them. As people, as things advance more, there's no, we have more wars, more battles, more conflicts, more arguments in this world. This is one of the signs that we are towards the end of the world. There's no pursuing of the goodness. People just love their self, and they just seek their benefits, and they get tainted by evil. We have to ponder over this. But contrarily, people, as we learn from the lectures on Job, some people acknowledge that they could be evil, they could be wrong. When we acknowledge that, we can experience quick change. This is a contrast. So we have to discern things well in the world. As we have more, there are examples of this in the Bible. In Matthew chapter 12, verses 22 through 37, the Pharisee condemned God's work as the work of the demons when Jesus healed a man who was blind, mute, and possessed by a demon. The Pharisee said, "This man casts out demons only by Beelzebub, the ruler of the demons." If you have a conscience, even have a little bit of a goodness, let's say someone who was blind, who was possessed by demon, and he begins to lead a normal life, then you should rejoice, even though he is not your own relative or family members. And you have to wonder how this thing happened. But, and then he says that Jesus, a person named Jesus, healed me. And as soon as you hear it, you have to. But those Pharisees who insist on their righteousness said that he was possessed by Beelzebub, and that's why he cast out demons. Even witnessing goodness, they called a good work. He criticized, slandered his good work. This is, we have to discern things in the world. As we watch the news reports, as we hear about gossips, you have to have discernment. You have to, if you don't discern, you will end up judging and condemning with others. You never know what happened. Then you should refrain, refrain from judging anything. Let's say you hear some if you have don't have enough information to judge and condemn something, you, even if you have enough information to judge something is right or wrong, you, but we humans have a tendency to, that's why they are in the habit of judging and condemning others. Jesus also did good. He did things that could not be done by man, like casting of demons. And some people call Jesus evil or said that he is a sinner. At the time, Jesus said, any sin and blasphemy shall be forgiven people, but blasphemy against the Spirit shall not be forgiven. Whoever speaks a word against the Son of Man, it shall be forgiven him, but whoever speaks against the Holy Spirit, it shall not be forgiven him, either in this age or in the age to come. This means condemning Jesus' work of the Holy Spirit as the work of demons is a sin of blaspheming against and opposing the Holy Spirit that can never be forgiven. We must pay more heed to these words in this end time where much is clouded by sin. We need to accurately discern spirits in light of the Word of God and not be deceived by the enemy, devil, and Satan. It is important not to judge or condemn things carelessly. One of the mistakes that even believers of Jesus Christ often make concerns the perception of heresy. Today, I'd like to share what God says about heresy based on the Bible. May you understand well these words and wisely explain to those who wrongfully judge and condemn churches because they don't know the truth correctly yet. I pray in the name of the Lord that you will become children of light who can guide many to the right path. In the Korean dictionary, heresy is defined as a way other than one's own or an incorrect way. Essentially, those who believe their doctrine as correct consider others incorrect. For example, a person who believes that Buddhism is the only correct doctrine views Confucianism and other religious sects as heretics. Since God is the only truth, the correct definition of a heresy must be found in the Bible, the Word of God. You know, even Christian, among Christians, I mean, some Christians don't have the definition of heresy, but they have their own definition in their own righteousness. In the Bible, the word heresy appears a total of 5 times, but the definition is recorded only one verse. 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 1 says, "But false prophets also arose among the people, just as there will also be false teachers among you who will secretly introduce destructive heresies, even denying the master who bought them, bringing swift destruction upon themselves." In other words, heresy refers to those who deny the master who bought them. The phrase, "the master who bought them," means Jesus Christ. Originally, mankind belonged to God and lived according to His will, but after the disobedience of the first man, Adam, mankind became sinners under the ownership of the enemy devil and Satan. But the God of love had mercy on those destined for death and gave up His only begotten Son, Jesus, on the cross as an atoning sacrifice, opening the way of salvation through the price of His blood. By God's work, men who came under the ownership of the enemy devil because of sin were able to receive forgiveness, gain life, and belong to God again by believing in Jesus Christ. This is why it says that Jesus Christ bought us with the price of His blood on the cross, referring to Jesus Christ as a master who bought them. Thus, the word heresy was never used before the completion of Jesus' ministry as a Christ through crucifixion and resurrection. As we find in Matthew chapter 1, verse 21, the name Jesus means the one who will save His people from their sins. Christ refers to the Anointed One. Jesus fulfilled His ministry as the Christ and became the Savior, essentially the Master who bought us, only after being crucified and resurrected. So the word heresy doesn't actually appear in the Old Testament or in the four Gospels that recorded the life of Jesus, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. This is because the term heresy did not exist nor was confirmed before Jesus died on the cross, resurrected, and became the Master who bought us. The scribes and the Pharisees who would persecute Jesus, nor the priests or high priests, used the word heresy to refer to Jesus. Only after Jesus resurrected and completed His ministry as a Christ did the people who denied Jesus Christ as the Lord who bought them appear. There also emerged warnings against such heresies. So it's important not to carelessly label those who believe in Jesus Christ as the Master who bought them as heretics. It's also crucial to note that those who deny Jesus Christ, the Lord who bought them, belong to heresy. Dear brothers and sisters, what kind of people are said to introduce heresy into this passage? They are referred to as false prophets and false teachers. The word false in this passage doesn't mean deceitful words or actions commonly used to deceive others. It signifies denying of Jesus Christ, who is the truth. Therefore, 1 John chapter 2, verses 22 and 23 say, "Who is a liar but the one who denies that Jesus is a Christ? This is the Antichrist, the one who denies the Father and the Son. Whoever denies the Son does not have the Father. The one who confesses the Son has the Father also." The verses mean that those who deny Jesus Christ is the Christ and deny the Father and the Son are liars, the Antichrist, and heretics. The Antichrist are people who cleverly distort the Word of God and oppose Jesus Christ, denying the way of salvation through Jesus Christ. Not acknowledging Jesus Christ is no different from opposing God who sent Him to this earth as our Savior. In the passage, it tells us that false prophets and false teachers secretly introduce destructive heresy. If their true identity is revealed, people may not easily accept it, so the false prophets and teachers secretly come in and cleverly deceive others. Our shepherd compared this situation to carbon monoxide poisoning. If cold gas enters a room when people are awake, they will immediately sense danger and react accordingly. But if cold gas enters when people are asleep, it will be hard for them to perceive their surroundings. They will be gradually poisoned by gas and end up dying. Similarly, we must always be awake in prayer. It's important to realize that when we are spiritually asleep, false prophets and teachers can sneak up and deceive us. False prophets and teachers who are heretical malign the way of truth as they pursue sensuality. They use words created out of greed to gain advantage from those who follow them. They enjoy a debauched life, indulge in greed, and exploit people by deceiving them with sweet words. At first, they may when they first deceive people, they say things like, "Oh, you have good faith," and I mean, but gradually, they form groups, they create a synagogue of Satan, and they make, they made them their fellows, and they gain profits from them. In any churches or organizations, we are to guard ourselves against people who form groups. At first, they look devoted, they look faithful, but at some point, they show their true identity, and they say things like, "I'm this kind of person, I can do things well." So people who follow them, who listens to them, they naturally create a synagogue of Satan, and they form groups. So there are such things happening in the church. There's such things happening in our mission groups. I mean, I'm talking about the heresy, but you know, similarly, but there are people who form groups and they try to gain profits from their groups. If there are such things in the church, you have to report it to me. That you shouldn't let things happen in our church. Also, you should let there be no forming a group. You have to unite in the truth, in the Lord only. Let there be no such things. But just because there are people in such things in church, are they heresy? No. You shouldn't call just anyone heresy. You know, heretics are those who deny Jesus Christ. People who draw other people to be on their side. I mean, and those false prophets and teachers, they draw their people and make them their followers, and they live a debauched life, and they, this is, so if you look at their lives, you can see that most of them focus on gaining riches by creating and expanding businesses out of greed. They even pretend to be the Savior and deceive others by teaching them that salvation can be achieved through them rather than through Jesus Christ. Over time, their true identity will be revealed. They malign the way of truth, gather wealth from their followers, and commit all kinds of lawlessness that go against the Word of God. As today's passage says, their judgment from long ago is not idle, and their destruction is not asleep. The false prophets and teachers will surely be judged by God. Eventually, they will fall into hell, eternal death. As we can see, the Bible provides detailed description about heresies and their ultimate outcome. But some people condemn churches that are bound with works of the Holy Spirit as heretics or the Antichrist. Although they say they love God, they've been blinded by spiritual ignorance and actually go against God's will. For example, some consider crying out in prayer as heresy. Sometimes people are labeled as heresy due to spiritual gifts such as speaking in tongues, seeing visions, and telling prophecies, or because healing works and signs are being manifested. There are even people who call clapping in praise or doing worship dance, nowadays, back in 70s or the churches emphasized holy, holy, holy. And I mean, there so there were even people who call clapping in praise or doing worship dance, doing services heretical. However, these have nothing to do with biblical heresy. If you look at the Bible, Psalm chapter 150 verse 4 says, praise Him with timbrel and dancing. From 1 Corinthians chapter 12 verse 7 onward, Paul clearly tells us how much benefit we can gain from the gifts of the Holy Spirit, such as healing, prophecy, speaking in tongues, and the interpretation of tongues. So we should never slander, judge, or condemn other people and churches who exhibit these gifts as heretics just because we haven't experienced them ourselves. Keeping in mind that if we carelessly label those who believe that Jesus Christ came in flesh, believe the Bible to be the absolute Word of God, and believe in God the Trinity as heretics, it is the same as condemning and opposing the Holy Spirit.
저희
brothers and sisters, a person who correctly understands God's definition of heresy does not easily judge or condemn someone to be heretical. An example of this is Gamaliel, a teacher of the law from Acts chapter 5. When the apostles performed many signs and wonders in the name of Jesus Christ back in the day of the early churches, people came to believe in Jesus Christ. Then the Jewish religious leaders became jealous and threatened the apostles, imprisoning them and trying to kill them. What did Gamaliel do at the time? He stood up in the council, gave orders to put the apostles aside, outside, and spoke boldly. Acts chapter 5 verses 35 through 39 say, "Men of Israel, take care what you propose to do with these men. Stay away from these men and let them alone. For if this plan or action is of man, it will be overthrown. But if it is of God, you will not be able to overthrow them, or else you may even be found fighting against God." Like his words, if it hadn't been God's work, eventually it would have been collapsed on its own without anyone having to step in and destroy it. If you know that something is God's work but oppose and interfere with it with a jealous heart, you will not only be unable to destroy it but become an opposition to God and bring punishment and judgment upon yourself. Of course, if someone leads others to receive a different spirit, not the spirit of truth, or if we find him really heretical in God's eyes, then we need to be extremely wary and not compromise based on the gospel of Christ. Then what should we do to avoid being deceived by those tainted by heretical ideas? It's important to discern heresy, false prophets, false teachers, and the Antichrist based on the Bible. When you come across these people, you need to be able to enlighten them with the Word of God like a two-edged sword. This doesn't mean you should argue with them, though. Titus chapter 3 verse 10 says, "Reject a factious man after a first and second warning. All we have to do is to admonish him once or twice with the word of truth. If you say a couple of times and the other person does not heed, there is no use in continuing to argue. It'd be good if the other person listens, realizes his mistakes, and repents. But if he doesn't, the correct action would be to stay away from him." This is the biblical, what the Bible advises us. Those who are weak in faith and haven't stood firm in the truth need to be even more cautious. The reason is, the truth can be cunningly twisted to suit their weakness, and arguments occur with fake knowledge of the word. This can end up negatively affecting their thoughts and viewpoints. Once someone with weak discernment becomes influenced by wrong ideas, it will be difficult for him to have an awakening and turn back. So, it's better to avoid arguing and to keep distance instead. 2 John chapter, the Bible says, if anyone comes to you and does not bring his bring this teaching, do not receive him into your house and do not give him a greeting. We need to also give up the arrogant thought of destroying all the doctrines advocated by heretics at once. We must stand firm in the truth and not turn to the left or to the right. We need to boldly testify to the Word of God and entirely rely on the Holy Spirit. Rather than trying to defeat evil by relying on ourselves, we should... In the Bible, Paul encountered a violent wind called Euryclo during his transport to Rome for the Inquisition. When all the people on the boat were to die, Paul reassured them by boldly confessing his faith. Acts chapter 27 verses 23 through 25 say, "For this very night an angel of God to whom I belong and whom I serve stood before me saying, 'Do not be afraid, Paul, you must stand before Caesar, and behold, God has granted you all those who are sailing with you. Therefore, keep up your courage, man, for I believe God that it will turn out exactly as I have been told.'" What we need most these days is a confession of faith like that of Apostle Paul. Confessions like, "I'm a child of the Almighty God, I belong to God, I'm a believer saved through faith in Jesus Christ." When we make clear where we belong, the enemy devil that approaches us wearing the mask of heresy comes through one way but flees in seven ways. The enemy devil prowls around like a roaring lion, continuing to look for someone to devour and tempting believers. It approaches double-minded people who cannot stand firmly in the truth or those who have doubts. It deceives them into leaving God. So we must stand firm in the truth, the Word of God, and not waver under any circumstances. Another point we need to keep in mind is that we shouldn't imprudently condemn something as a heresy when it is not, and block the work of the Holy Spirit. This is blasphemy against the Holy Spirit, which is a grave and unforgivable sin before God. We need to be able to discern spirits based on the word of truth. But as many don't correctly discern spirits, we often see instances where churches that acknowledge the God to Trinity and show the work of the Holy Spirit are condemned as heretics or persecuted through various means. You know, people are healed by the work of the Holy Spirit and have their problems resolved. Such precious works are happening. But if that they are not the work of the Holy Spirit, are they work of the enemy devil? Does the enemy devil do such great things, as our shepherd pointed out? People are healed and have their problems resolved and receive answers from God, and they learn that God is the only deity and Jesus is the only Savior, and they are to live by the Word of God. They are to live in the light and live in the Word. Does the enemy devil teach people to do that? No way. In this church, you know, healings take place and resolution of problems take place, and we testify to God and Jesus Christ, and we have the vigorous works of the Holy Spirit. But just because, I mean, we are teaching the truth. We are, you know, why do Christians condemn others to be heretical? Just because some teachings are don't agree with their own knowledge, you know, we should never let this happen among ourselves. You know, we may have a different ways of living a Christian life. This is because these people think that they believe in God but have no biblical knowledge of heresy nor understand its definition. If you happen to blaspheme out of ignorance, you can be forgiven if you turn back and repent. But if you do out of jealousy and evil, despite knowing that it's wrong, you cannot be forgiven ever. Thus, it's important to correctly distinguish between truth and falsehood only in light of the words of the Bible. I will continue the rest in the next sermon. Let me conclude the message, dear brothers and sisters. The true definition of heresy is found only in the Bible. The Bible clearly states that those who deny the master who bought them, meaning those who deny Jesus Christ, are heretics. Instead of basing their standards on the Bible, there are many instances in recent times where people condemn each other as heretics due to minor differences in doctrine. It's important to never judge or condemn something as heresy if it doesn't deny Jesus Christ, believe in the Trinity, and shares the core biblical doctrines of regeneration, maturation, the second coming, judgment, and heaven. It's essential that we keep in mind that a careless condemnation of a church or a pastor whom God is with means blaspheming, speaking against, or opposing the Holy Spirit, which will lead to eternal death. Remember that the blind who leads the blind will both inevitably fall into a pit. Be mindful not to fall for the temptation of false prophets. May you all distinguish between truth and falsehood through the Word of God and not turn to the left nor to the right. I pray in the name of the Lord that you will only follow Jesus Christ, who is the way, the truth, and the life, to New Jerusalem in heaven.
Hallelujah, Almighty God, our loving Father. Please lay your hands on all believers who are receiving this prayer now. Show your works that transcend time and space on those who are receiving this prayer through GCN. Give them the faith of belief from heart. Drive away negative thoughts and doubts, and drive away all tests and trials. From head to toe, all entrails, joints, nerves, and tissues and cells, whatever the sick part may be, burn them with the fire of the Holy Spirit and the original light. In the name of Jesus Christ, I command the enemy, devil, and Satan, all diseases, germs, and viruses, and infirmities go away, light come. Please scorch all their terminal and incurable diseases with the fire of the Holy Spirit. Drive away all endemic diseases, including malaria. All contagious diseases, including cold, flu, and fever, go away. Protect them from all kinds of germs and viruses. Heal them of all stomach, lung, liver, breast, uterine, and intestinal cancers, AIDS, leukemia, cerebral apoplexy, high and low blood pressure, diabetes, thyroid problems, and heart, lung, and women's diseases, and all inflammations go away. Heal them of polio, stroke, arthritis, and herniated discs, back pain, headache, neuralgia, and all other pains disappear. Epilepsy, autism, depression, neurosis, and other mental diseases go away. All dementia, all the mental diseases go away. All the paralysis go away. Let them get up, walk, and leap. Let the eyes see well. Let the ears hear well. Let the blind come to see, the deaf to hear, and the mute to speak. Heal them of after effects of all kinds of accidents. Fix their broken bones. Restore them from burns. Let the heat and burning sensation go away. Father, let there be no scar left. Be cleansed from all kinds of drug addictions and poisoning and substance abuse. Let the dead nerves and tissues and cells be regenerated. Bring the dead back to life. Give them the blessing of conception. Receive the blessing of conception. In the name of Jesus Christ, I command the enemy, the voice of Satan, the ruler of the power of the air, and the evil forces of heavenly places and their servants go away. Go away, evil, unclean, false and deceitful spirits, separating spirits, all forces of darkness. Loosen the bonds of wickedness. Darkness, go away. Light, come. Father God, give them strength to cry out in prayer and the power to cast off sins and become sanctified. As their souls prosper, let all things go well with them and their families be evangelized. Protect them from all kinds of accidents and disasters throughout this week and bless them to lead a prosperous life without any problems. With the fiery walls of the Holy Spirit, heavenly hosts and angels, and with your blazing eyes, protect all your children, their families, workplaces, and business fields. Give students wisdom and understanding, and give them enthusiasm and fervent to study hard. Please keep their hearts and minds from worldly things and let them love God more fervently. Whether your children eat or drink, or whatever they do, let them do it all to live a life glorifying you, Father God. Let him be able to testify about the living God, saying, I've met and experienced God and received his answers and blessings. Father God, thank you. Be glorified alone. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, I pray. Amen.